Brilliant. Good morning, everybody. Or is it? It's technically afternoon now, is it? We'll try it again. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
My name's Johnny. I work for Stand By Me. I'm a little bleary-eyed at the minute, as Stephen said. 12 hours ago, I was sitting right at the end of a runway at Addis Ababa, and now I'm here from Addis Ababa to Moneydig. It's brilliant. And whenever I was coming from Ethiopia, I had to produce this. Anyone got one of these? Know what it is? They're going to change colour soon, I think, whenever we leave the EU and things like that. But this is my passport, and I guarantee you if you have one of these, then you also have a very embarrassing photograph of yourself. Because nobody ever gets a good passport photograph. Mine is horrendous, which is why I'm not opening it. But inside here, it'll tell you lots of things about me, and in yours, it'll tell you lots of things about you. It'll say where you're born, it'll tell you what country you're from, it'll tell you some of the places that you've been to, but there's one thing that it won't tell you. It won't tell you what you've done. So in my passport, I have a couple of stamps that say that I entered Ethiopia and I left Ethiopia, but it doesn't say anything about what I've done. And so in some ways, this tells us about our identity. And that's one of the things that we've been thinking about this morning, about who we are in Jesus. But then just as the guy showed us in the drama, it's also not just about who we are, but it's about what we do. And so this morning, I want us to think about that, because as the guys have brilliantly reminded us this morning, so often it can feel like we can only do small things. But actually those small things create ripples in eternity as people's lives are shaped and changed and transformed. I want to read just a short passage for you this morning. There should hopefully be a wee slide in the background here as well about Jesus feeding the 5,000, but let me read a few verses for you from it. It says this: when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Then Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." It's this incredible moment where Jesus is looking for a lonely place, a place to just find his space and time to be with the Father. And yet these huge crowds gather around, and they stay because they see what Jesus is doing. They hear what he's doing, and they want to see and hear more. And it gets on into the evening, and the disciples notice a problem. And it's kind of a universal problem, is that when people get hungry, people get grumpy. So they do. And I know that it's 5 to 1, so I've got to rush on, because people will be starting to get hungry, and that means quite soon grumpy after that potentially as well. But the disciples look out at this huge crowd of people, and they come to Jesus with a solution, one that they've come up with themselves. "Jesus, we have a brilliant plan. These people are hungry, so you need to send them away so they can get something to eat." And Jesus turns to them and he says those words we just read. He said, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." You see, they saw a problem where Jesus saw potential. And so the disciples, you'll know the story, they go out around the crowd, they find one person who's remembered their lunch. Now, I don't know about you, you can answer this one honestly to yourself. If you were the only person in a crowd of 5,000 people, how likely would you be to share your lunch? All I'm saying is you wouldn't be getting any of mine. But yet this little boy comes up, he brings his lunch, his little 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he says, "Well, Jesus, it's not much, but if you can do something with it, you can have it." Jesus takes the food, he prays for the food, then he gives it back to the disciples. I think that's really important. Jesus doesn't throw the food out to the crowd, he gives it to the disciples and he says, "Go, make sure everybody gets something to eat." Jesus involves us in the story. He wants us to be part of what he's doing in the world. Even though what we might do might seem small, it can make a massive, massive difference. Let me share with you a couple of stories this morning to give you examples of this. On the next slide, you'll see our work in the Dominican Republic. So have we got the next slide there? Wonderful. Excellent. Click on one more for me. Brilliant. So I want to introduce you to a little guy. His name is Wilton. He lives in a town called Monte Plata. If we go to the next slide, you'll see a photograph of him. This is taken way, way back in 1995. This is when we first met Wilton. And Wilton used to sit outside our school in Monte Plata. On the next slide, you'll see what our school looks like. It wasn't particularly fancy at the time, but every single day he would come and he would ask the same three questions. One, can I have something to eat? Two, can I have something to drink? Three, can I go to school? And so the first two questions are really easy to answer. You give food, you give water. It's simple. And yet this third one was the tricky one. Can I go to school? Wilton was on our waiting list for school. Now, in this tiny little chicken shed that we had, we were able to create space for 40 kids to come to school, but he was number 100 on our waiting list. 1 year later to the day, on the next slide, you'll see the school that it was replaced with. Because we stepped out in faith and God shows up in those moments. He takes the little that we have and he does massive things with it. This is the Eva Russell School. It's still there in the Dominican Republic today. And on the next slide, you'll see Wilton again, because Wilton then got his space in school. Now, that all happened a long time ago. About a year and a half ago, we got an email through to our office in Carrickfergus. It came from Ramon in the Dominican Republic, and it just said in the subject, Wilton. And inside it, there was one photograph, because every time that we asked Wilton what he wanted to be when he grew up, he would always say the same thing, I want to be a doctor. You'd ask him a month later, I want to be a doctor. You'd ask him a year after that, I want to be a doctor. This next slide will show you Wilton a year and a half ago. This was Wilton qualifying not just as a doctor, but as a surgeon in his own country of the Dominican Republic. Little things, small things that were done years and years ago that God has taken and used to transform someone's life. And the next slide, I want to take you to the opposite side of the world, to Myanmar, a country you may know better as Burma. I was out in Burma a couple of years ago, and we have a number of children's homes. So in Stand By Me, we make sure kids get the best education they can, and where kids have been orphaned or abused or abandoned, we give them a place to call home. And a couple of years ago, almost 2 years ago to the day now, we had a real reminder of why those are so important. On the next slide, you'll see a little girl. We have a school and a children's home right up near the border with India in a town called Tamu. And our caretaker went out one night. He opened the gate to let the kids go home. And as he went out the gate himself, he could hear the sound of a baby crying. And he realized that it was actually quite close to him. We have a little fruit tree that grows over the gatepost, and tucked in underneath there was this little baby girl. So he did what every sensible bloke does in that situation, pick up the baby and declare your need for help. So he came into our children's home with this little baby, and our staff started to look after her straight away. They undid the little blankets that she'd been left in, and the only earthly possession that she had, you'll see on this next slide, is this tiny little piece of paper torn out of a little desk calendar. It was tucked just between her shoulder blades, and then she was sort of wrapped up with this against her back. The 20th of May, 2016. The only thing that we could think was this must be her date of birth, which meant that she was just 9 days old when she was left outside our children's home. And so we brought her in. We gave her family. This next photograph is one of my favorite photographs in all the world, because these are all of our kids who live in our home in Tamu, who've all come for different reasons to have to find family with us. And right into the middle of it, they bring this little baby. And they decided, well, she needs a name, because everyone needs a name. And so collectively, they together called her Naomi. She's got her second birthday coming up pretty soon. But you'll see in this next photograph, this was her on her first birthday, with her pigtails and her dress and her cake. And we just love that we get to celebrate her. We love that we get to look after her. We love that we get to do little things that show her God's love. And then finally, let me take you to Ethiopia, where I was just this last week. In Ethiopia, we look after almost 1,000 kids. Senait is one of those kids at the YF here, do such an incredible job of looking after. And you'll see in these next few slides some of the real significant things that we do. Water is so, so precious in a place like Ethiopia. This week, I stood in homes of kids who told me that they have a water pipe that comes near them, but it's only turned on 1 day a week. And so on the other days, they go and they get their water from the river. You couldn't believe it. And yet, when the kids come to our school, they get access to water. They get to wash their hands. They get all these important things. The next slide will show you one of my favorite times in Ethiopia, lunchtime. I love my food, but I love more getting to see our kids enjoy their food. The mountains of food you can see in the top left corner of this picture are called injera. Ali and I were talking about this on the way up the road because Ali doesn't like injera. The last meal I had in Ethiopia last night was injera. It's so good. Ali will tell you it's so bad, but it's really, really healthy for you. And so our kids, every single day, they get their breakfast and they get their lunch because we know that whenever they go home, there's not a lot of food around the house. And finally, the thing that we give them is an education. One of the most precious gifts that you can give anybody, an opportunity to dream of a better future, an opportunity of become what God created you to be. That's what happened for Wilton, and we trust that's what will happen for Naomi. And in this next slide, you guys will see Senai. The YF will know her well. You may know her less well. This is her. She lives in Dembodolo in Ethiopia. Every single day, she gets food, she gets water, she gets to learn, she gets to hear about the love of God. Such an incredible thing. It's taking what little we can do and using it to create ripples in eternity. One last photograph. These guys here. They started our school over 10 years ago in Ethiopia. And this little group of ones that you can see in this picture, just back in September, started university for the very first time in Ethiopia. Going to study to become doctors and accountants and leaders and lawyers and teachers and a whole range of different things. Their lives changed by people who love Jesus and want to see change happen in their lives. The guy third in from the right, the tall guy wearing the shirt, is a guy called Cass. And this time last year when I was out in Ethiopia, we were chatting with these guys because they were getting ready to go to university. And part of going to university meant they would have to get on an aeroplane for the first time. And so we were talking about, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you choose to go? That's a good lunchtime conversation for today. If you had a free plane ticket anywhere, where would you choose? And so some of the guys said, well, I'd love to go to New York. For there's big buildings in New York, that'd be amazing. Others said, oh, I'd love to go to London, like London Buckingham Palace, places like that. The really intelligent one said, I'd love to go to Belfast. Let's be honest, it's the greatest city in the world. Addis Ababa is second place to Belfast, definitely. And yet Cass, the guy third in from the right, he let everyone else say his answer, and then he said an answer that left me speechless. Now, I am rarely speechless. He said this. He said, if I could go anywhere in the world, I'd go to Milton Keynes. And I was like, what? I was like, Cass, two questions. One, how do you know that Milton Keynes is a place? And two, perhaps more importantly, and no offense to anyone from Milton Keynes, why would you want to go to Milton Keynes? And Cass told me straight away, he said, you know what? See, when I started school, he said, a little old lady in Milton Keynes started to sponsor me. And she sponsored me the whole way through. He said, I owe so much of where I am today to her. He said, so if you get me a ticket to go anywhere, I want to go to Milton Keynes. It's the difference that we can make, that even like that little boy, we might feel that what we've got is so small, and yet it can make such a massive difference. On the next slide, you'll see a little bit about how we do what we do. And Stand By Me, we try and get people like the YF here to stand with someone else, to choose to change the world for one person. We realize we can't change the world for everyone, but we can for one person. And so maybe this morning, as you've heard some of those stories and you've gone, that's amazing, but what can I do? It's that little thing of every month committing to sponsor somebody. If you'd like to find out more about that, I would love to tell you about some of our kids. Ali will be able to do the same. When you arrive in Ethiopia, our kids always ask the same thing. Who do you sponsor? Who do you sponsor? And one little boy came up to me this week and he went, I have no sponsor. I said to him, I was like, I'll find you a sponsor. So we would love to have a chat with you this morning. If you'd be keen to find out more, if you've questions that you want to ask around that. We're going to sing one last song and then we're going to close our service in prayer. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing Cornerstone.